Okay, getting back to where we were, talking about salary. What kind of salary do you think you could command? You said you probably wouldn't be offered contract. Now, when you played the 16 major league games, the 8 in each league, you're going to be 2018, 2 years, 14 in each league. Just for you to make the major leagues in the 1920s, with a few professional teams, you had to be a fairly decent ball player. Today, again, this is going to be my opinion, I don't know if you share it with me or not, the talent's watered down. There are so many players playing major league baseball that shouldn't be, that are making $500,000, $700,000, $800,000. I want you to look at yourself as a player in his early to mid-20s and think of some of the borderline players of today. Matt Young, okay? He's got a $2 or $3 million a year contract. He really didn't have an outstanding season. Every team is loaded with pitchers.
On the border,
and probably don't belong there, but because it's a shortage of quality pitchers, they're up there. And they're drawing good money. Just try to think about it. Think about it in that aspect. Now, do you feel that you may be lucky to get a contract? Or do you think you belong up there? And if you do belong up there, what do you think you could command?
Well, if the 19. As it was 1992, and I had finished in 1991, like I did in 1922, yes, I would be offered a contract.
Okay. Where do you think you're salary-wise in today's ballgame? Did you ever think of that?
Yeah, I did. I think the most that I could expect to get in salary at the office would be maybe $5,000.
Back then?
Yeah.
Okay. How do you think? Coming off, what, hypothetically, you're just 10. In 1922, the season you came off of,
that's
1991 now. What do you think you could get? What would you want to get?
Well, first I'd have to consider the minimum.
$100,000,
yeah. I think I should be offered a little more than the minimum. In the light of all the millions that they're paying. I would guess that I'd be offered a contract of $400,000 or $500,000.
Okay. That's nothing to read. That's it. All right. Do you feel that there are any ball players in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever, would be a success today?
Yeah, I think most of them would. Because in the 20s, salaries were offered and given and taken because of merit. So the like if you were an established president, if I was in 1922, you were established guy, you've been in the Navy for 10 years, you're getting $1.5 million a year. I try and let that influence the owner in giving me more than he could.
Can you see any ball player, once you give him a specific name, you play with the star in 1992?
When I play?
Any of the ball players that you played against, would Babe Ruth be a star today? If he were playing baseball in 1992, would he be a star? Would Roger Hornsby be a star?
Yeah. Frankie Bird, Gary Dawson, Bill Perry. Oh, yeah. Thanks. I would say 80% of the players that were playing in those days with 1 year contract, they would have no difficulty at all playing in today's baseball.
Okay. They were better ball players.
Yeah.
Why were they better ball players?
They would spend more time trying to improve what they already have. Now, where they're getting the millions, they don't have to worry about, they should worry about being in condition to play. And as you say, the pitcher should be able to play any more than a while. But the players today take too much for granted.
Do you see any of today's ball players that would have been a star in this place?
Oh, yeah.
Wade Boggs?
How
about pitchers?
Pitchers?
You think Clemens would be?
Yeah. He'd be an outstanding pitcher. The catcher, Pena.
Okay, all right.
He's an outstanding catcher, but he works hard. He works harder than anybody in that park.
Mm-hmm.
And he's as good as what he's doing. And I don't think he doesn't seem to be the type that gives the owners any headaches about finding money, finding contracts. The new catcher, that pitcher, they got Viola.
Okay.
He has a record that was, he could do some demanding. His overall record.
As ball players, who do you or who do you admire?
Well,
why do you play?
Billy Southpaw is one of them. He played the best he could every game of the season. Never any off days for him. I don't know if I remember him being there.
Okay, that brings up a good question.
Yeah.
We've got the DL now, baseball. We've got the 15-day DL.
Sure.
We've got the 21-day, we've got the 60-day, the 90-day, whatever. And all the big money. You see all the quote unquote superstars constantly going on a deal. You didn't have a deal. Why do you have so many injuries now? Why do you have so many people making exorbitant sums of money, not playing golf?
That's a good point, because you wonder why there should be so many injuries, because they're doing the same thing. They're playing baseball now the way it was played 50 years ago. The fundamentals of baseball. You wonder why they are on the deal. That's a good point. It might be the fall of the, in some cases, the manager. Tell you if you were better than average pitcher, for example. If I were the manager, I'd tell you, well, you're pitching today and you're going nine. You don't do that anymore. And they can't handle ball players now like they used to 50 years ago. They don't seem to have the same authority. A good example is the Red Sox manager last couple of years. he was told to go out and play baseball. Whereas Dick Williams, remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He made them play ball. And if they didn't play ball the way he wanted them to, they'd sit on the bench.
Yep. I remember what, 68 or 69, he was buying probably $1,700 and not running out the other thing. What was the ball game like back in the 20s? Were they low scoring ball games, high scoring ball games?
Mostly low scoring.
Was there a lot of strategy involved?
There was quite a bit. Like the hit and run, stolen base, how to play. We'd always have meetings in the clubhouse before the game. They go over each player on the opposing team. He's a first ball hitter, so be careful about that first ball. And you can get him on a low outside pitch. Once in a while, pitch one in close to him. Don't let him get the toehold up at that plate. Keep him loose up there.
Back. It was kind of fun to play then.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. After your playing days ended, you had to earn a living to support a family. Before we get to the kids, what kind of education did you have? You mentioned you went to Florida.
Yeah.
Where'd you go to high school?
Blackstone High School, actually. Which is Blackstone and Nolan.
Blackstone.
Nolan and Southern High School.
Is that out by Bellingham?
It's
Hopedale?
Yeah.
I lived in Midway for a few years.
Oh, yeah.
Out in that area.
It's right next to Midway and Milford and
Milford.
Yeah.
Okay, you went to Fordham.
Yeah.
You graduated from Fordham? What was your degree?
Bachelor of Science.
In what area?
No particular area.
What kind of occupation did you have after this?
I had to go in the winter. I started about 1924 maybe. I was playing in Tuck Steel one day. One of the officers came over and said, somebody wants to talk to the board again. Went over and he was just all from all time mad that I had known. I had quite a shot from Sacramento Mountain Dreamer that night. Which is really interesting. I'm thinking of going back to Walton. I'll be working out in Chicago with an insurance company. And he said, I'm thinking of going back to Walton and helping up an insurance agency. He said, how would you like to come out and work with me? I thought a while. It sounded pretty good. I always wanted to get something through baseball. So I did that. For like most of December, January, and part of February. And I was in lots of business. And then when I got through with baseball in 1930, I was still in Washington. And I opened up my own office. That's probably what it is.
Mm-hmm. Which insurance company did you work
for? All of them,
Where is the family?
Four children.
What year did you have?
1930.
And the raising family, was that more than this?
Beginning in Lawton. Then I came out to live in Montauk. And at that time, I bought an interest in a taxi cab company in Montauk. And I operated the company for about 5 or 6 years. And then the Buick automobile franchise became open in the project. And they called me from Boston, the Boston office. And they asked me if I'd be interested in going into it. So I gave up the call. And I guess I couldn't help. So that's what I did. Until about 10 years ago, I retired. And my son-in-law is now the dealer. I retired when he was over there.
I'm moving to the ocean.
Thank you.
Okay. Good. Okay, you mentioned you retired from baseball in 1930. That was your professional?
Okay.
That was 1930 to 1930. You were retired.
Yeah.
Where did you play?
Reading, Pennsylvania was the first place. Nashville, Tennessee, I was down there for a while. Toledo, Ohio. My last place was Auburn, New York.
Why were you in the minors? Having grown up in the Boston area, 5 years old in Braves left foot. I never got to see a game at Braves Field. I never did. What was it like at Braves Field, both as a player and a spectator? Obviously, you've been both.
Well, as I said before, a nice spot to pitch in. There's a lot of room in the outfield to chase after those long fly balls. All the defense in front of the field. It was kind of a dull place to sit and watch the game because it was so big. And hardly ever filled up.
Is that because the team wasn't very good?
I think we finished fast place as we were in first place.
Why do you think the Braves had a lead play?
Attendance.
Do you think Boston could ever support the team to you?
If they had two good teams, yes. But who's going to play when they would have to? It'd be a long haul to get there.
I left something out talking about your family. You said you have 4 children. Are they living still in the area?
My son is an English professor out in New York State. My 2 daughters are married in this area. I'm talking in Oxford. And we had another girl, she was killed in an automobile accident, and about 40 years ago.
How many grandchildren did you have?
15.
And an athlete?
That's my disappointment. I never could get the ball for it.
Okay.
They played football, baseball, basketball. But they never seemed to really have an intense liking for baseball.
Recently, we've been hearing a lot lately. Professional athletes and their off-field escapades. We got magic joints, not developing HIV virus, we'll train one thing that is close to 20,000 women. I'm a school teacher. I deal with students ages basically 5 to 12 years old. Really look up to professional athletes.
Oh, sure you do.
Athletes have always been role models for kids. Are they justifiably so? Are they good role models for kids? What is a role model like? Was he a womanizer, like Baby was made out to be? Was he truly concerned with children? And his father?
He was, because he had to be. Because they fought around him every place he went.
What, you mean the women?
No, the kids.
Okay. But he truly cared about
them. Oh, yeah. And he was very patient with kids, which is an indication that he liked them. And his kids, like 10 years old, they didn't say whether, you know, I'll break them all or not. He would say, look, there he was, right in front of me.
So their personal life really has no bearing?
No.
What do you think about the athletes of today's role model? And what would they care about?
Well, I don't know what the reason is. I get more publicity because of the off-field exercise than we used to get. But I think it's more pronounced now. There's a looser type of living now than there was 50 years ago.
Acceptable or shouldn't be acceptable?
I don't think it's acceptable, but you just have to face it openly. If there's something you could do to make it better, it would help.
We're getting near the end. As a former professional athlete, what kind of advice would you give an aspiring athlete? How would you tell them to prepare for the future, both as an athlete and a life athlete?
Well, starting with baseball, I would urge you to if you had talent, I was urging to play ball as much and as often as you could. And at the same time, when you're playing ball, also basketball, also football, to what else you have to do? Like, if you've gone to school, don't be number one, two, or three, four in the class, but make a good showing so that you're ready if you have a chance to go to college. And if you have a chance to go to college and you do get there and you're a good athlete in college, fine. But always be thinking of, you're not going to be playing baseball or football all your life. What you want to do when you're 40 years old. But it's pretty difficult to get a kid to be thinking of those things when he's 16 years old and he's a good athlete.
I know, I have a 19-year-old.
Yeah. Any time in that case?
He was. He's been overweight.
Oh. Overweight, huh? Yeah.
And the youngest is a very big fish. Very proud of
my wife, softball, maybe?
Catcher, softball. I assume varsity last year. Should make the varsity softball. And get some fun. Basketball, no. Like a father, my dad, whatever. And she's the captain, a left. Field hockey team next year. We're proud of her.
Yeah.
She's an overachiever. Better than average.
Great.
She's got a good college. She's got a good promotion. Where she lives. She's one of the youngest ever to get this promotion. They're really proud.
Great, you were.
Where's the Puppetino?
Oh, Puppetino, sure.
They just made her, she's 16 years old, and she's a really, training specialist.
Boy, that's unusual.
A big thing, yeah. She's gonna be training to move up the country. And I think she's gonna help the staff there. So we're proud of her. She's been going on.
Yeah.
I think that's under. I think they're both.
Well, as long as he knows how to work, yeah.
Right? Not, neither one of my kids are up there. They're talking about how bad the economy is. Okay, one final question as far as what I have to ask you. Knowing what you know now, if you could relive your life, would you want to be a ball player again?
That's easy, yeah.
Yeah. Why?
Why? Because I love baseball.
I love baseball.
In fact, I play for nothing.
You play for nothing today?
Yes, I would.
You play for nothing?
I love the game so much.
Do you give a coach the game?
I coached high school in Waltham 1 year while I was still in there. Yeah.
What year was that?
1928.
You never
did
any other coaching?
No.
You keep bringing up Waltham. I got to tell you this. I told you earlier that I officiate high school football. Well, on December 7th, we had an Eastern Massachusetts high school football tournament. And I was one of the officials in it. Bridgewater Rangers. Waltham.
Oh.
Game went into overtime. There's an overtime period in high school football. The Waltham won by 1 point.
Oh,
yeah. It was the most exciting football game.
Where was it played?
Great field.
Great field.
No, Nicholson, Nicholson Field.
Nicholson Field.
Yeah. There isn't much left of the great field.
No.
I had to bring that up. Nicholson Field, there's nothing really around the place. We've got just one side of the range being
yeah.
All of the season. I was running around from the New Jersey bar.
Yeah.
Where we're going to play. People
yeah.
Were able to point these things out.
Oh, they have the one flag.
Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like, then? Okay. I'm all done.
No.
What I have. Looks like a couple of I'm having a ball doing it, though.
Yeah, I am, too.
I love your comment. You play for nothing.
I really would. I was happy when I was playing baseball. As I said, my father used to just call me and papa. I forget all about it.
What do you think the man would do? Why is it good so long?
Well, one reason is to have call it a kind of a lively game. Although you do see baseball games that become sometimes kind of dull. But the ball, the baseball itself, it goes through so many hands. All those players have to be ready in case it drifts in. And there are so many opportunities to make a above average plays in baseball. Hosting them as a great catch, a driving catch. Shortstop was in as a whole. Going out of first base. The catcher decided to box the play and he's not totally. He was in the baseline, he's not far away.
Which is part of the game.
It is, yeah.
But that's part of the game. Like you can try to segregate and break up a double play.
Well, you can, but if you say it's right to the base, but there's some other play that they don't go near the base.
And the pitcher, still person who holds up the strike zone, you know, just top of the knee. You obviously still follow baseball.
Yeah.
Watching the game, very rarely aren't you strike the ball without the way.
Oh, you're going to mention that myself.
What are you going to get?
It should be corrected. I'm talking to the pitcher,
right? Okay, why do you think it's something like that?
I think it's the fault of the umpire. In this way, they're scoring. And also, something has to be done about the umpires. The one that thinks why they're umpiring that the game is played for them. You can't even talk to umpires now. When I was playing, you could go up and get argue with an umpire. If you differed your language. But now, you can't even step to a strike or a ball.
You have to move it. Did you ever get into any heated arguments in Major League?
I wasn't that tight. I just, and many times it was, if I thought a ball was just a ball, or the ball, and I thought it was a strike. I just kind of looked at the umpire. I always figured that umpiring is a hard job, and if you make it easier for them, it'll pay off. And then later on, they might give us the vote.
Okay. The umpire is very highly up.
The best one I ever saw was Bill Clancy. You know that name?
Right.
He had charge of the game. And the ball plays no one.
He'll be a respected umpire.
Yeah, you could talk to him. But it don't go too far.
I read somewhere, and I don't know if this is true or not, up until probably the end of his career, he umpires every day behind the plate. Do you know anything about that?
Now that you mention that, I don't remember seeing him in the field. Up at some point in the field on the bases. That's right. He's always kept umpires. Yeah. What's the answer to that?
I read somewhere that the umpire in chief on the field is always put the plate. I'm probably wrong. I'm sure there's a little bit of truth there somewhere, but he figured that if he had to go out on the base, he could get out.
Yeah. But they only had two umpires in those days. The umpires, you know, some of the plays that we know as umpire beta.
Yeah.
And I remember one, but Frisch was always arguing with the umpires. And Stengel was too. I remember one day in Gray Field, Frisch, one of the Giants, yeah. We had about an unsettled day, it had rained and then stopped and then rained. players and the fans even could kind of take it if they wanted the game called. But the umpire was stubborn. He wouldn't call, he wanted that game played. Once Fish issue when he was managing Pittsburgh, he used to coach a Thursday sometime. And this day, somewhere he got a hold of an umbrella. And he brought it out to the Thursday coaching line. And when he was out there, he raised the umbrella. And he stood on the umbrella. And, you know, it's raining, call the game. And I remember we were saying that. Mm-hmm. And he was out of the game shortly. Dana was always arguing with the umpire, but they liked him so much. They had so much respect for him. He could go a little farther than most people.
Why did they have the respect for him?
Well, his personality. The media liked him, too. And the umpires got a kick out of arguing with him. Kind of made the game more interesting.
Okay.
For
them. Yeah. Lately, we've been hearing ball games are too long. 3 hour ball games, 3 hours.
They are.
How long are ball games going to last in the
No.
Really?
The record for a baseball game, maybe you know it. Something like 92 minutes.
Really?
That's no. That seems way, way back. But there's so much of this that the batter is responsible for. And you take a strike, you walk out on the mound, knock the spikes out of your shoes, and swing the bat a few times, and do the things you generally see in this ball. There's too much of that, I don't know that. Now, fellow like Hornsby, I always admired him as a hitter. He just kind of, he always took me back out of the box, doing, stepping into a ball all the time. And he was in a position where he could reach to the end of the strike zone. But he just stayed in that box, and of course most of the players did, he stayed right in the box. And he took a strike, he'd stay there before he saw the storm. That was the last time when we were walking around now.
Yeah.
Just the parents keep out of it.
Oh, I love you. Love you. I find the kids nowadays don't want to play ball. They can't do ball. You have that uniform.
Oh, they're getting spoiled.
They are.
Yeah.
I remember when I played, we'd get up at 7 in the morning by 8 o'clock on the ball field, bucking up teams. It would play from 8 to lunch. Most of lunch for half an hour right there on the field,
two,
three or four. We didn't have to have nine on a team.
No.
If we didn't have enough outfielders, we took the right field, you're out. We invented games.
Kids don't want to do this. No, they don't. It's fun.
Did you always need nine to play when you played? Did you always have nine?
No, sometimes we played for seven. Seven. But now the noise I saw. Hold the line. Unless sometimes the second game is double error. If you play before light, you make it 7 minutes.
Question I asked earlier, but you were in the country, when we were playing ball on a major league level, professional level, where did the players get their equipment?
Duke, you mean?
A glove, bat.
Oh. all bought from them.
The bats are bought by the club.
But gloves are used to be the easy thing. And we'd always be able to get gloves from the manufacturer because they send out the samples.
Okay.
That was no problem.
How long would a glove last?
Touches up a little and stuff.
Have you remember any of the manufacturers?
Anyone?
Manufacturers of the gloves?
Rawlings. I thought the bat took for Hillary's and Dreisberg,
yeah. Do you remember the manufacturers?